One of the more important drug policy issues facing students returning to school this fall is random drug testing, or drug testing in general. What's SSDP's position?
You know, it's really unfortunate that any federal funding or any school believes that random drug testing is an appropriate way to handle drug policy for students. The fact of the matter is it's not particularly effective. The number of false positives is astonishing. And so not only might we be threatening students' futures, educational and career futures, through a methodology that doesn't help and is not particularly accurate, we also know that randomized drug testing steers students to make more dangerous choices. Those students who are going to choose to use drugs or alcohol anyway will be steered towards those things that are harder to detect on drug tests, such as synthetic marijuana and other synthetic drugs, as well as choosing alcohol, which is not able to be detected on most of those tests and is obviously very dangerous for our youth.
I'm also interested in the 911 Good Samaritan program. Tell us about it.
911 Good Samaritan, or medical amnesty policies, state that people who call emergency services when a friend is experiencing an overdose from alcohol or other drugs, that if those friends are engaging in illegal behavior, they either won't be prosecuted based on making that phone call, or there will be some sort of protection offered to them if they are ticketed or otherwise prosecuted for that kind of behavior. So what that really means is when someone is on campus or in their community where these laws have been enacted, and they are partying or with or have a friend who is experiencing some sort of overdose event, they can feel free to call for help without worrying about whether or not they will be negatively impacted by that. This is tremendously important when it comes to saving lives of young people and others, especially on campuses. Unfortunately, you know, we've already seen a number of deaths from alcohol poisoning and alcohol overdoses on campuses this year, and it's just the very beginning of the school year. This is a stolen promise. This is a stolen piece of our future when young people die due to these overdoses and their friends' fear of being able to call for help. We see that when these policies are enacted, thousands of lives can be saved.
There is a provision in the Higher Education Act that means students convicted of drug crimes lose their student loans and other federal funding. What's the situation there?
Students for Sensible Drug Policy was actually founded in order to eliminate this provision of the Higher Education Act. And what we were able to do through work with our allies and others is really make significant changes such that that provision is far less damaging. So today, if someone is convicted of possession of a controlled substance or sale of a controlled substance, they are able to participate in a handful of different activities that will allow them to still be eligible for financial assistance for higher education. And we're very proud of the work that we did on that, and we're glad to say that that even though there are some efforts in Congress to make those punishments harsher and to not allow people convicted of drug use or possession able to access financial aid, we've been able to stave off any return to the earlier failed policies.
With medical marijuana legal in 23 states and legal recreational sales in 2, are colleges tolerant of medical marijuana on campuses in places where it's legal?
Oh, absolutely not. Even in places where we've seen the broadest of marijuana policy reforms, campuses are generally actually cracking down and making their campus policies even more draconian than they were before. or they are implementing public education campaigns that are generally not particularly helpful for students. They are increasing penalties. And so this is something that a number of our students on campuses across the U.S. are concerned about. Unfortunately, the provisions of the Higher Education Act that allow funding for colleges requires colleges and universities to prohibit marijuana on campus. However, colleges do have a great deal of leeway in terms of what kind of sanctions they will put in place for people who are caught with marijuana on campus, and they have a great deal of leeway when it comes to what they will accept as mitigating factors. So while colleges or universities at this point would not be able to allow students to use medical marijuana on campus explicitly, they can reduce the penalties to the point where they are essentially non-existent. And that would be the compassionate choice to make for those medical marijuana patients who are students and employees of on campus. We've seen just in the last week a man who is a Princeton employee, also a service veteran who suffers from PTSD and inflammatory bowel syndrome, who is now on leave because he has chosen marijuana as the medicine that helps him best and has been told that he can't return to work until this question is resolved, which will probably result in him either losing his job, unfortunately, or having to choose medicine that is far less effective.
Well, Betty, I just have one final question for you. Can you kind of tell me about the political influence, the political power that students as a lobby have? There's your organization, but as a lobby, do students have much political pull?
Well, you know, we talk about those groups of voters and who have a great deal of influence, elderly voters and soccer moms and whatnot. But there's no question that young voters, if they are able to get them, if they get out and make their voices heard, have tremendous political influence. We're very excited about the work that Students for Sensible Drug Policy chapters and members are going to be doing in the coming years in their legislatures, in their communities, and on their campuses to help push these policy reforms forward and replace failed drug war policies with sensible drug policies that are driven by young people who have a much better understanding of what really works in their communities than many other people do. And we'll be seeing an actual demonstration of that political power later this month at our Lobby Days in Washington, D.C. We're having our national conference as well as Lobby Day and a celebratory event the Thursday before. So that series of events starts on Thursday, September 25th and runs through Monday, September 29th.
Well, Betty Aldworth, I want to thank you so much for taking time to chat with Cannabis Radio News.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. And I hope that your listeners will visit sscp.org to learn more.